Okay, I'm going to be talking to you today about walking in the Spirit. Now, that's a biblical term that comes from the Bible. And look, God's been revisiting this with me, so it's really been in my heart recently. So I just felt to share some things that I've learned along the journey of the last 37 years of being a Christian. You know, this is a huge topic, walking in the Spirit. And look, we could be looking into this for weeks and months. But today, I'm just going to bring out a couple of points which I hope are helpful for you in your walk in the Spirit. Okay? You ready?
Yes.
Let's go. Okay, you all awake? This is Galatians 5:16. It says, "But I say..." Now, this is the Amplified Version, so get ready. "But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of the human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, or godless human nature, for these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free. But are prevented from doing what you desire to do." So there is a battle going on for your life and for mine. Who's experienced a bit of the battle? Eh? Been around a while? Okay, there's some battling going on. But walking in the Spirit, I believe, is at the center of this battle. So the battle is all around you, but it is also within you. And I believe that this topic is right at the center of the battle. Why? Because if the devil can restrain you from walking in the Spirit, he can hold you in bondage for the rest of your life. And what a waste would that be? Spend your whole life on earth held in bondage by something that Jesus paid for you to be free of. And the way free of that bondage is to learn to walk in the Spirit. You know, even the Bible refers to this relational balance of flesh and spirit as a war. This is 1 Peter 2:11. "Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So your flesh and your spirit are at war. I live that life. I lived that life for lots of years. And I tell you, it was horrible. You know, I walked that journey, and I've been walking that journey for 37 years, and let me tell you, there's been some war involved. But you know what? That I've learned that walking in the Spirit has been, and the journey of walking in the Spirit has been the most rewarding, liberating, and powerful journey I've ever experienced. Now, I'm not finished yet, and neither are you. And as long as I'm traveling in this vehicle, flesh and blood, then I want to finish the journey. There will always be a bit of war taking place. So be prepared to that. Think about getting good at battling. Think about being good at warfare, because as long as you're living in this fleshly vehicle, there will be a war. Look, there's been a couple of revelations or encounters that I've had in the journey in this vehicle that have helped me to learn to walk in the Spirit. So I believe that I'm going to touch a few of those things this morning. We certainly can't do an exhaustive thing in this, but we can just bang on a couple of subjects, I believe, that will help you, okay? So we need to start of being aware of the battle, that there is a battle going on. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and those are contrary to one another. But fortunately, Jesus has set us up to win," right? And we can win this battle. We're not going to be finished, but we can win, let me tell you. So 2 Peter 1:2-3 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." So through his divine power, you can win this war. Through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So it's possible to live a righteous life in this fleshly vehicle. That's good news. But there's a battle. And you know what? For many years, let me tell you straight, this is the biggest battle of my life ever. I really fought that thing. And I remember one day I read this. This is Romans 8:7. It says, "For the carnal mind," or the fleshly mind, "is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be." How's that? "So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Whoa. I read that and that was like a death sentence to me. I can remember reading that and it going, oh. Because as long as I had lived in the flesh, I had lived out of my carnal mind. So I realized that as long as I did that, I couldn't please God. That there was a transition that needed to take place. I needed to get control over my carnal mind so that I could please God. Verse 9 says this, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." So the key to pleasing God is found in the Spirit of God living in you. Does that make sense? Well, I didn't feel that, but I believed it as truth. So I lived in this tension between the promised freedom and my lack of revelation and control over my flesh. Does that make sense? It's like there was this place I was living where I realized I could be free and I realized I could be separated from this fleshly life, but I just didn't have the revelation or understanding or control to get there. The rest of that same scripture says this, "Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead," woohoo, "because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Remember that. We're going to come back to that. Because of righteousness. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body," to this thing, "through his Spirit who dwells in you." You're getting the idea, starting to see why it is important to know how to walk in the Spirit. Because freedom is found through overcoming the flesh. And freedom is found by walking in the Spirit. So if you're in the midst of this battle, don't despair, because God has set you up to win. keep walking. Keep walking. Just keep walking. Just know this. That the life of walking in the Spirit is not graced upon a chosen few. It's not for pastors. It's not for leaders. It's for everyone. So if you gave your life to Jesus yesterday, so Ian, who gave his life to Jesus yesterday, he can choose to step into a life of walking in the Spirit today. That's good news. And it doesn't require a certain age or maturity of being a Christian to step into. It doesn't have to take years. In fact, I suggest that it start today. And if you haven't already, you can start it right now. Let's choose a life of walking in the Spirit. See, it's your choice. You're going to hear me banging on about this, but I realized a while ago that there are quite a few things with the Christian life that we desire and we want, and they're your choice. So all you've got to do is step into them. You don't have to wait to walk in the Spirit. Do it today. Doesn't matter how old you are. Do it today. It's your choice. Okay? You good with that?
Yeah.
All right. So let's start here. For us to walk in the Spirit, you need to know these things. The Holy Spirit is a person. So you don't get a portion, a little bit to start with. You get the whole lot. You hearing me? When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the whole Holy Spirit comes to live in you. So it's got nothing to do with you or your experience or your understanding. He's just there. So when we walk in the Spirit, we get to start with the full portion of the Holy Spirit, all His power, all His authority, all His grace. Okay, is that good? The whole lot. And walking in the Spirit is about you and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. But like any relationship, walking in the Holy Spirit is something that grows because it is a relationship. It's not a works program. It's a relationship, so it grows. You get to know Him. You get to know how He speaks, how He helps you, how He guides you, how to spend time with Him. Okay, so do that. Spend time with Him. Get to know Him. You know, it's hard to walk with somebody that you don't know. So let's get to know Him. You know, He no longer wants your religious activities. Quiet. He wants to spend time with you. So if you get up in the morning and you read your Bible for 29 minutes and 59 seconds, because that's what Christians do, stop that. Do it with Him. Take Him with you. Read the Word with Him. If you pray for a prescribed amount of time, this is great. I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying do it with Him. Don't do any of your religious endeavors. Don't worship without Him. You know, we need to live and be constantly aware of the Spirit of God, and that's how we walk in the Spirit. See, I was actually just reminded of, like yesterday, I was working on our boat, okay, and I'm working away, it's a beautiful day, and I found myself going, God, can we go sailing together again soon? Because I love to do that. I love to go sailing with God. And when I sail on my own, I just worship and just spend time in Him. It's like, fantastic. So I'm going, God, can we do that again? You know, He organises my schedule, so it's going to make a gap for us to do that. But, you know, look, the rule of thumb with walking in the Spirit is this. Is don't do anything that you can't do with Him. It's quiet. If you can't do it and invite Him to come with you, stop doing that. This is what walking in the Spirit is all about. This is about taking Him in every part of your journey of life. Okay? So the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, He's going to help us. Okay, so I'm just going to run a couple of scriptures. Now, this is John 14, 26. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends in my name. So start to look for his help. Look for what he's doing to help you. Okay, start to receive him and enjoy him and take him with you as your helper. Secondly, he's our teacher. It says in John 14, 26, he will teach you all things. How cool is that? So in your day-to-day, have your ears open because he wants to teach you. It says, and he will bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. Well, if you've got a brain like mine, it's good to have someone to jog your memory. And the Holy Spirit's going to do that. So when you go out on a Saturday into the forest place and start to talk to people about Jesus, don't worry about what you're going to say, because the Bible promises that the Holy Spirit will remind you. See, this is the walk we need to envisage and enjoy, is a walk that is interactive with God, just constantly being aware. Third thing, he's our source of truth. John 16, 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. So you don't have to worry so much about deception. If we can learn to walk in him, we have eternity's universal truth living within us. What a powerful thing. He's also our guide, same scripture. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. This is a journey. This is a growth thing, but he will guide you. You don't have to wallow around for the rest of your life. Allow the Spirit to guide you. Fifthly, he's our source of power. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So God is your source of power, whatever the situation requires. But God has given us the person of the Holy Spirit. So the foundation of leading a Spirit-filled life is relationship with him. Now, we've established already that we're in a war between our flesh and our regenerated spirit. When we give our lives to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and starts to and regenerates our spirit. But we're in this battle, so we've established that. But know this, that there are weapons available to you to fight that war. They're given to you so that you can succeed. Listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians 10. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, okay, the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So don't try and fight this battle in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds. Remember, we're in a war with spiritual forces of darkness, demonic spirits. If there's something that demonic spirits want you not to do is walk in the Spirit, they will do everything they can to stop, prevent you walking in the Spirit. We'll look at more of that in a minute. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his power. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities of powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Now, just as I was reading that, God showed me something, so I hope I can articulate this in an appropriate manner. That while we're living in the flesh, the demonic influences around us can move and guide that. But they can't move and guide your regenerated spirit or the Spirit of God. So if you're not living out of the flesh and living in the Spirit, then the fleshly nature can't be manipulated by demonic spirits around you. Okay? Oh, that was, learned something new today. So we need his armor, right? Ephesians 6 again says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth," truth, "having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Now remember that, we're going there. "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always and all with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Now, I'm going to smack a couple of these, okay? Only a couple because we don't have time to do the whole thing. You ready? Let's have a look firstly. We're working in reverse order. Let's have a look at prayer as a weapon. Now, when it comes to walking in the Spirit, I believe there's a particular type of prayer that is particularly fruitful in the area of walking in the Spirit. You see, it doesn't refer to this activity as sprinting in the Spirit. Sprinting in the Spirit, you would go flat out and then you would rest. You can't sprint permanently. It also doesn't call it going into the Spirit, which you go in and you come out. No, it calls it walking in the Spirit. And there's a reason for that, because it's sustainable. We can walk for long periods of time, great distance, if we walk. If we run, we will struggle. And if you're fit for it, you can walk all day. When these scriptures were written, they used to walk for days to get between cities. Are you catching this? That if you're fit to walk, you can walk constantly. Okay, and that's why it's called walking in the Spirit. So I want to refer to this as abiding prayer. Okay, this isn't sprinting prayer. This isn't bang, bang, bang that you do in. This is abiding prayer. So this is Jesus' promise to his disciples. So it's you and me. This is the promise. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper," there it is again, "that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you." John 15, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they are gathered them up and throw them in the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done to you by my Father. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." The emphasis, which is mentioned 8 times in that scripture, is not the fruit. It's the abiding. See, the fruit of walking in the Spirit is a natural byproduct of abiding. Chat prayer. Abiding prayer. The sort of prayer that just goes. It just goes. And you live in that place and it becomes normal. Now, this hasn't been easy for me. This has been a real battle for me because I'm not naturally a chat prayer. I'm a get up in the morning and bam, a sprinter. Bang, 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 bang. Oh, that was exhausting. Where Denise is a chat prayer. She's an abider. She's always been able to have this easy, fruitful, just ongoing thing of where she abides all day in God and lives in this prayer. And this is the type of prayer that is really fruitful for walking in the Spirit, abiding prayer. It says, praying always, get the idea, with all prayer and all supplication. That needs to be developed, a continuous abiding in chat prayer. Really, I believe in many ways you need that to be able to walk in the Spirit, because otherwise you'll be sprinting, doing your prayer, and you forget about God for 6 hours, and then you'll come back to another session of sprinting in God. You see what I'm getting at here? It needs to be developed. And I've worked hard at developing this in my own life, and I've found it's really helped me walk in the Spirit. Secondly, and I need to move quickly. Are we doing okay? I haven't exhausted you yet. I've almost exhausted myself, I'll tell you. Righteousness. Okay, the second thing I want to look at as far as a weapon is concerned is righteousness. Now, this is probably the second most biggest revelation I've ever had on walking in the Spirit. Slow down. Thank you, darling. I'm slow. Righteousness. Now, this comes from Ephesians 6, and it talks about righteousness as our breastplate. It protects our vital organs, okay? And it calls us to put it on. Okay? And really, let's stop there for a minute. If you are trying to attain righteousness or grow in righteousness, stop it. It's not how righteousness works. Did you catch that? Stop trying to grow in righteousness. It says put it on. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned," being Adam, "through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace," there it is again, "and the gift of righteousness." What is it? It's a gift of righteousness will reign through Jesus Christ the Lord. It's a gift. Stop trying to earn it. Put it on, it says. Okay. "And receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness." Now, I personally never, before I got that revo, I never personally felt worthy to walk in the Spirit. Are you hearing me? I'm sure that resonating with some of you. I never felt worthy to walk in the Spirit until I had this encounter. I was so sick. You know what I struggled with? Sexual thoughts. Okay, that was my battle. That was my constant battle. And I had this battle going on in my brain that I fought, and I exhausted myself fighting. Oh, fight that thing hard. And I remember talking to Denise about it and telling her, it's like holding a door shut with all of my strength. I struggled and struggled to keep that door closed. It was a fight. One day I got so sick of it. I said, "God, I've had enough. I hate this thing." I got down on the floor of my office and I had a self-deliverance session with myself. I laid hands on myself and I bound every filthy, rotten, demonic thing over my life that was causing my lustful thoughts. I got up off the ground and I got up a new person. It's like I put on righteousness. It was an interesting thing. I felt righteous. I stood a little taller. I got up and I feel righteous. And then I started to go, "I am righteous. Thank you, Jesus, that it's because of you, you've given me righteousness. And I receive that righteousness as a gift and I choose to put it on." I was never the same again. I stopped striving for that righteousness that I never was able to attain. And you know what? After I had that experience, I found that all I needed to do was keep my finger on that door, my little finger, the bent one, on that door, and it remained closed. I Why don't you start doing that? Why don't you start looking in the mirror? Look yourself in the mirror and go, I am righteous through Jesus Christ who's made me righteous. Every demonic thing that surrounds my life, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Cop that. Come on. Oh, look, I felt so much better. I felt 2 inches taller, 10 kilos lighter. I felt righteous. And you know what happened? The sensation of feeling righteous was so wonderful, I didn't want to swap that for my sin. I was enjoying the feeling of righteousness so much, I could walk away from my sin. And if I did sin, I'd repent quickly, straight away, not 6 weeks later. I'd repent straight away and I'd get back up and I'd go, I am righteous through Jesus. Do it quick. Do it quick. I've really got to move. Okay. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. So he wants to take you out. But if you feel like a filthy, rotten sinner, he'll be able to do that. So put on that righteous, step into it. Repent quickly, stand up, get righteous. It's a gift. Stop trying to earn it. So start to live out of that righteousness. Thirdly, okay, thirdly, the weapon of the sword of the Spirit or the Word, okay? Now, 1 John 5:7-8 says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are one. So if the Word is the sword of the Spirit, you cannot separate the Word from walking in the Spirit. You just can't do it. So the Word is of vital importance if you're trying to learn how to walk in the Spirit. You cannot separate the two. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. That's why it's living and powerful. Piercing even to the division of the soul and spirits, joints and marrows, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, the Word and the Spirit are one. That's why it comes to life. That's why you get revelation when you read it. So we need to establish the Word as your only source of truth. Catch that? If you want to learn how to walk in the Spirit, go, right, okay, from now on, I'm not going to CNN, what I will see on Facebook, what... My only source of truth is the Word. Okay? Make it a part of you. Now, I'm going to deal with a subject that we don't hear a lot about in normal church life, and that's our conscience. Okay? But God has placed a conscience in every one of us. And it's an incredibly valuable tool for you to walk in the Spirit if you understand how it works. See, your conscience doesn't inherently know right from wrong. Your conscience is not the Holy Spirit, but we can use our conscience to work with the Holy Spirit and the Word. Okay? Your conscience is like a computer. Your conscience operates according to how it's been programmed. It's programmed by numerous things, like family values, how you grew up, what you believe to be right and wrong, which is often formed in your very informative years. It can be, your conscience can be adjusted by past experience and hurts and struggles and things that have gone wrong. It can be adjusted by cultural norms. Like we had a meeting with Pastor Joel Chalai the other day. And he was talking about his trip to Eastern Europe. He was saying that in the Christian church in Eastern Europe, that they'll have affairs and won't even think about it because their conscience has been adjusted or programmed to think that that's okay. It's their culture. Your conscience can be adjusted by friends and influence. You know, a lot of friends, oh, it's okay to drink too much, no problem at all. That can affect your conscience. I was amazed. In 1966, they had this. The government had this "Keep Australia Beautiful" campaign. okay? Because everybody would chuck their wrappers out the window of the car. It wasn't McDonald's, because we didn't have McDonald's then, but they'd chuck their wrappers out of the fish and chips, out of the window of the car. So Australian government said, look, we need to change the conscience of the people in Australia, and they had the Keep Australia Beautiful campaign. From then on, it's not socially okay to throw your rubbish out the window. They shifted the whole conscience of the whole nation. So your conscience is something that's adjustable. We can reprogram it. And when we give our lives to Jesus, it needs to be reprogrammed. Okay? And we reprogram it with the Word. 1 Corinthians 4, 1-2 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron. Now what happens, if you have a burn, it destroys the nerves under the skin, so you have no sensation in that area. So if you sear your skin, you don't have any feeling of what's going on under the surface. So if your conscience is seared, you can deceive yourself. You understand? That's how people go off the rails, because once your conscience is seared, you can deceive yourself. Make sure your conscience is in line with the Word of God. It's the only thing to adjust your conscience to. Okay? But the condition of your conscience is important, because it's like a minute-by-minute reminder. You feel it when you're walking in the Spirit. You see where I'm connecting these things together? So your conscience is very important to learn to know where it's at when you're walking in the Spirit. Okay, I'm just going to share an experience quickly. I know time's getting away from us. This was the greatest turning point in my life as far as walking in the Spirit is concerned, without a doubt. Now, I was struggling with these sexual thoughts that I told you about. Now, this is pre-internet. Okay, so it was a little bit easier, but I have vivid imagination. I have a really rampant imagination, so it was a bit of a problem. Yeah, stop there. Sorry. I was battling in my head, because I had these sexual thoughts, and I felt unworthy and unrighteous, and we were rising in leadership in the church that we're in, and I would step back and I would stay distant because I just didn't feel worthy to step in. I still hadn't got the righteous thing at that point, and I was struggling. And so I read this scripture one day, and it said, I say to you, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And I went, wow, that's the key. If I can learn to walk in the Spirit, I won't have these imaginations going on in my brain. I'll be able to overcome my flesh. So I started to pray. And I said, God, teach me how to walk in the Spirit. God, teach me how to walk in the Spirit. Teach me how to walk in the Spirit. I need to know how to. And I prayed this for days, weeks, maybe months. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But I prayed for a long time. That was all I was praying. Show me how to walk in the Spirit. And then one day he gave me one word. And it came from him, because I wasn't thinking that at all. And you know what that word was? Fast. I thought, what's that got to do with walking in the Spirit? But I trusted him. So I started fasting. First day, headaches. You know, I got to morning tea time and I was struggling. I need my sausage roll. You know, I got to lunchtime and it was like, oh no, get chips, hamburgers, whatever. I'd never fasted really before. Twisties, that's right, I was after twisties. You know how fasting works. I was just a mess. And this was lunchtime. And I got through that day and into the next day, and it was getting worse. And I could hear my flesh going, hey, you got to feed me. I don't care what you feed me. Don't listen to that God stuff. Stop this business. This is nonsense. You know what goes on in your head when you're fasting? This is nonsense. What you're doing is crazy. Just have some twisties. It's okay. You'll feel much better. And yes, I would have probably felt better, but I wasn't. And my body got louder and louder. And my body started to say, after two or three, 4 days, my body started to say things like this. You're killing me. I'm going to die here. You're starving me to death. Serious? But there was another voice. I don't know whether it wasn't really a voice. It's just, you know what I mean? There was another thing going on. And it was the voice of my spirit. And you know what my spirit was saying? Whoa, I'm in control here. And this, I listened to this thing going on in my head, you know, while I fasted and continued to fast. And it got louder and louder. And my spirit was starting to get quite authoritative with my flesh. And it's starting to say, on one occasion, my spirit said, I'm in control here. And if I wanted to, I could starve you to death. I came away from that encounter knowing what voice I needed to live out of. So out of that one encounter, God did show me how to walk in the Spirit. So rather than listening to the voice of the flesh that says, I must eat now, I listened to the voice of the Spirit that says, whoa, I'm in control here. Hey, none of that. I'm in control here. And that lesson changed my life. I was at peace. My spirit was at peace. And you know what's true is that whether it's hunger is the primary need of man, right? You don't eat, you die. And sexual things, anger, pride, lying, selfishness, greed, all those things you have authority over by the Spirit of God that lives in you. You just need to be listening to the right voice and walking in the right spirit. You're a new creation. See, Paul recognized this battle. It was quite interesting. I read this scripture later and thought, oh yeah, he gets it. Romans 7:19. For the good that I will want to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Then he says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body. Okay, your spirit going, no, whoa, I'm in control here. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I should myself be disqualified. Okay, so you know what my greatest revelation out of all this was? I am not my flesh. The real me lives forever. The real me is soul and spirit in a vehicle that looks like this. That's not me. That's just my vehicle. And let me tell you, sometimes it's a very, very disobedient vehicle. And we need to bring it into submission. But it's not me. Walking in the Spirit is about aligning yourself not with your flesh and the dictates of the flesh, but by the voice of the Spirit and the revelation of the Spirit. Amen? Okay. Things to do. All right, this is finished. I'm finishing now. Things to do to walk in the Spirit. Wake up every day and ask the Spirit to walk with you. Say, I want to hear you. I want to see you. I want all my senses to be experiencing you. Do that every day. You know what's another thing to do every day? Is wake up in the morning, get out of bed, and put on the cloak of righteousness. Okay. Body, I'm ready for you now. Because I'm righteous in Jesus' name. Okay, subdue or resist the flesh and its unholy desires because your spirit, you are in control. Tell it it isn't in control. And you can leave that disobedient body behind Because that's what will happen. You will leave your disobedient body behind. Be quick to repent. Don't wallow. Don't spend 50% of your life wallowing in your sin. Because what happens then is that becomes who you perceive yourself to be. You want to spend as little time as possible wallowing in your sin and feeling bad about what you've done, because you don't want that to have an impression on who you think you are. You are righteous. Get up, put on the cloak of righteousness, and walk out. Amen? Stand in righteousness that God's purchased for you. Actually do it. You know, it's not about pride. It's about taking on that gift. But remember to abide in Him. Now, last thing. Be aware of the small. Now, this Denise taught me a lot about this. But be guided by your word-soaked conscience. But take note of the small, because that's how God will train you. He will train you in the small to walk in the Spirit. Don't wait for the big miracle, okay? Let Him train you with the small. You know what's a good example? Guys, when you take your jocks off and leave them on the floor, listen. If he tells you to leave them on the floor, that's okay. But another good example is when you take your trolley full of groceries to the car, unload your trolleys, stop and listen. Yeah, I'll put it back in the rack. This is walking in the Spirit, okay? He will train you with the small. Stop waiting for Billy Graham to ring you. Franklin Graham to ring you. Okay? Just start with the small. You know, He will train you in this in every day to life. So it's not a big spiritual, it's the day-to-day. Do it now.